We hope you're feeling a little bit better today about where our organization is headed.
I am.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Matt Ryan has given his first official press conference, not as the quarterback, not as the MVP, not as a newly drafted Atlanta Falcon, but as the Falcons president of football. And as Mike and I have discussed today, and there's a lot to this discussion, okay? If you're just tuning in, bear with us. There's levels to this. Because as we talk about Matt and what this is going to look like and the responsibilities, as we'll play some of this for you and some of his responses, Mike and I got into a discussion today about, hey, final authority decision-making. Because really, this is what this is about. Am I hiring you to come in and advise me?
Right.
Or am I hiring you to come in and make the decisions and then tell me what we're doing? And that is what we believe that is happening. I'm hiring you to come in and tell me what we're doing. And that is to Arthur Blank. But, Mike, you said you were hoping to hear more from Matt Ryan today as far as decisions.
Yeah. You know, like, I'll be the corporate troubleshooter. If I see something screwed up, I'm going to step in and say, hey, that's screwed up. But that's technically mentally. Now, that's what I want. If you missed last hour, I said to Carl, if Matt had this position, if this position existed as Arthur has set it up, the parameters for it last year, would Matt Ryan in May have said to Fontenot, hey, Terror, you know, we really, you know, I don't trust Kuh. We got to bring in legitimate competition, you know, and I mean, a real either bring in a veteran to challenge him or a hot young rookie, you know, and as a free agent. For instance, you know, would Matt have said, you know, hey, maybe a good idea if we give Penix more reps in the preseason, you know, as a rookie, I know I couldn't get enough, right? Hello.
Yeah.
Just that's the input. Now, I still think that I'd like to think those kind of, you know, without meddling, he can lean in and go, hey, just my two cents. But you got to find the formula for that. I think Matt is, based on what the autonomy that Arthur's given him, I think he can do that, right?
I do too.
Is that a reach?
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
I mean, so yeah, point out the things that the guys in the stands can see that apparently the coaching staff and general manager couldn't see. That I'd like to think is part of his job.
I do too. And Mike, you're describing the accountability part of his job. That is what he is going to do.
Hey, he's in charge of what's on the grass.
Yes,
football.
What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Let's hear Matt talking about the decision making, okay? Because he acknowledged today, and so did Arthur Blank, he will hire the coach, he will hire the GM. He's in these interviews as we speak with these head coaches. And, guys, the emphasis is on head coaches more right now simply than there are GM, because we're the only team right now that needs a GM. You got to find the head coach. And that's not to say they're not, you know, it's not as important. But I also think the flexibility around interviewing these GM candidates, Mike, is a lot easier with the timetables you laid out earlier about interviewing some of these coaches. Some will be available because they're not playing. Some won't be available because they are playing. That is what you're up against. All right, let's hear Matt talk about the decision-making.
I think, you know, I think Arthur has been really clear to me with what that structure is going to look like. And, you know, ultimately, Arthur's football team is his football team. You know, but I understand the task that has been laid at my hands. That is to lead this process along with, you know, the guys that and women that are along for that. But ultimately, you know, we're going to come together. We're going to work collaboratively, and we'll make a recommendation to Mr. Blank of what we think. But I'm comfortable with that.
So he's going to make that recommendation, you know, and as I said, I wanted, and Carl said, what do you want? He goes, what do you want?
What do you want?
I said, I would have liked, and as Carl pointed out earlier, we have gone back and forth on this, is I'd love to see Arthur take himself out of the process. But Jerry Jones doesn't do that. You know, as far as I know, the Glazers don't do that. And the owners, billionaires, they've earned the right to say who's going to be their coach. Just wish that I'm giving Matt the keys. Matt, it's your show. You pick it. And that's it. I wish that was the case. That is still not the case. So you're hoping that Arthur does sign off on what Matt brings to him.
Yeah. And this is where you have to feel like he trusts Matt in a way that, hey, this isn't my specialty. I'm a great businessman, but this is your specialty. You know people in the football. You know what this should look like. You have a sense. I'm trusting your playing days. I'm trusting all these things, Mike. Bring it to me and let's go. That's what he wants. And I think in a way he's taking himself out of it, except for cutting these checks, which is what he's going to have to do. But again, you're paying Matt, you're going to pay a new GM, and you're going to pay a new head coach. Here's Matt Ryan talking about the GM and coach from his perspective.
You're looking for two people that, you know, don't see the game polar opposite. You know, I think it's difficult if you've got, you know, just a different view on how to best move forward. So we're looking for, you know, people that are aligned in that vision. We're looking for people that work well together. And that doesn't mean, you know, best friends. You've got to have a professional and really strong working relationship. And sometimes that comes with seeing things a little bit differently.
Love it.
But the best of the best find ways to get to common ground. And I think as we go through both of these searches, both the head coach and the GM, as we're going along that lane at the same time, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking to find two people that we feel like are excellent in their role and what they're asked to do, but also, you know, can provide a really strong working relationship together.
Yeah, I love this simply because what he's telling you is that healthy discourse is going to be good. And that's good for the franchise. He's not looking for guys who need to be besties. If I know you, great.
Right.
If I know your work, terrific. But when you come in and we need to understand how the hell do we build a winner, healthy discourse is good. Not completely disrespecting somebody, Mike, not jumping over the table and whooping somebody. Hey, this is why I feel we need to be doing this. And then the person saying, no, this is why we need to be. That is good, but you don't need to be best friends. And I'm glad he pointed that out because I think there's also this notion with Falcon fans that he's only going to bring in people that he's familiar with.
Right. Now, guys, hit up on the text line. Says, what's the difference between when Rich McKay oversaw Dimitroff and Quinn? Good question. Well, this is Matt. This is going to be Matt's attitude of things and Matt's view on it. And remember, we always asked about that. There was a time when Rich, and again, Rich is like the four-letter word around it. Don't mention Rich. Don't talk about Rich. But that's why, you know, Matt is here. Because the previous process, now, I don't think they reinvented the freaking wheel here. I just think they replaced Rich McKay with Matt Ryan. And it's strictly football, and it's not about the stadium and everything else. And it's focused on football. I like, as I said to you earlier in the show, a voice of common sense for this football team. Common sense and a guy that played at the highest level who knows what it takes, that, you know, if we start getting off message on things, that he gets guys back on track. And I think that's part of his job description.
I
hope it is.
I do too. I think we said this as we were talking about, you know, overstepping, because Matt said, look, I'm not coaching. I'm not going to be in the coaches' rooms. I'm not going to be coaching quarterbacks and
all
that
stuff.
Don't
mind if he does, though. Well, but I mean, even as he said, autonomy for the GM and the coach.
Yes, because you got to give people space to do their jobs. And I think that's important too. Look, I'm not taking this job. I don't care if I'm John Harbaugh, Mike, or any of these other candidates. I'm not taking the job if I know that's what your intention is. Why am I coming? I'm not doing it. Like, this is what I do, and I do it really well. Let me do it.
Right. And again, if Art, now, the $64,000 question, does Arthur also let Matt do his thing and not get involved in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
Now, again, Arthur loves to talk, and we love to talk. It is funny, though, because every time there's a press conference, this was Matt's introductory press conference as president of football.
Right.
And Arthur just kept chirping in. And I'm listening to this at home, and I'm like, Arthur, stop. Okay, stop. I mean, just let Matt do all this. And in relation to that, and Arthur, he can't help himself. And that's fine. It's his team. But I hope that that's not a metaphor for where this continues to go as an organization. Let this man do the job you paid him to do.
Yeah, and that's what I believe is going to happen. You can find us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. The radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. What about Matt's mission? I think it's pretty simple, don't you? Win.
My mission since I was drafted has never changed. You know, it is to help this organization do everything it can to be champions and to win championships. And, you know, there is a sense of unfinished business of, you know, we were close at times and we had some success here and there, but I truly believe we're going to get there. And have full faith in the people that we have in this building and the folks that are going to be coming into this building are going to help us get there.
A lot of trust in this position. There just is. This fan base, Matt, is trusting you to bring the right people in. Understanding character, Mike, the makeup of individuals, what they're going to bring. There's a lot of that. Mr. Blank's not doing that. Matt Ryan is. And when Matt Ryan goes to Mr. Blank and says, here's the guy, you got to be all in. And that is what the fan base is trusting him with. And I think, Mike, that is what Arthur Blank is trusting him with. Look, nobody's going to debate the desire to win. Hell, the guy wanted to win when he was here. He played like it every time. He didn't miss games. I mean, he loved football. That's why he's back. But I also think now we're about to learn people. Does he know people? Because that's what this is.
Now, we talked about it. They did already speak with a guy. I want Clint Kubiak, you know, and we talked about, we'll get into the big story today about Mike Tomlin stepping down in Pittsburgh. It looks, sounds like he may have a gap year, or he might have to talk to the Steelers about a trade if you wanted him, which might preclude him from us.
That's right.
Harbaugh, Diana Rossini, we mentioned earlier, she writes for the Athletic, NFL Insider. She's told the Giants, Falcons, and Titans are considered the favorites.
Let's go!
To get John Harbaugh.
Make and the hire, Matt!
Harbaugh, we said this earlier, he had a Zoom meeting. We had literally guys getting hung up on, you got to be face to face. All right, well, you know, they'll figure that out, okay? I mean, he's not going anywhere. They can hire him tomorrow. But Harbaugh, and how much, now, whether the reports out of Cleveland from a reporter that said, he wants real control. He wants $20 million. He wants this. He wants a lot of demands. Well, he can name his price. He's got teams interested in him. But as far as Kubiak, if you wanted to have a follow-up with Kubiak, because now it's 3 days after the wild card for coaches that are still coaching. So that would be a second interview for him. That would occur between now and Thursday.
And I mean, they're pretty serious, too, by the way.
And now, again, how about Cunningham? Ian Cunningham from the Bears, who's worked with the Ravens. That might sound like a good fit for Harbaugh. He also worked with Howie Roseman. You've seen the Bears turn around. And either Kubiak or Harbaugh. Harbaugh, to me, is the rep bigger than the reality? Because you had Lamar Jackson. You couldn't figure it out the last couple of years. That's my only beef.
Yeah. Look. It's valid. What I want is leadership and a guy that's going to come in and command the kind of attention the room needs. And I don't know if we have that. We're coming back. We got plenty more to chop up. Hawks talk on the way. Also, what BMAC had to say about Mike Tomlin stepping down. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell reacting to the press conference today with Matt Ryan. As we mentioned, if you're just joining us, Mike Tomlin stepping away as the coach of the Steelers. He was not fired. He voluntarily basically said, I'm out. And then the Eagles repositioning their offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo. Apparently, he could still potentially be on the staff.
Yeah, they've repetitioned over to Geno's making cheesesteaks.
I agree. But, right. Maybe he's a really light guy, just don't know what he's doing there. I don't know, Mike, but they're saying he could still be on the staff with Nick Sirianni. Change is consistent in the NFL right now. And we also know who moved on after last night's win. By the way, Texans defense, man, ridiculous.
I mean, again, I heard Troy Aikman mention a few times, there's a time Aaron Rodgers could have run out of that one, but yeah, he can't. he's just not mobile anymore. But yeah, the Texans were living in the backfield, never got the run game on track. You know, the one or two times that Metcalf had a completion, you're like, yeah, no. You know, it was just tough. And then, you know, the only thing that really kind of kept it interesting there for a while, for three quarters, is Carl, I think for the life of me, I don't think C.J. Stroud could have played a worse game if he tried.
Me neither, bro.
And good news, if you're a Texans fan, I don't think he can do that again.
Yeah.
He took ownership for it, carrying the ball like a loaf of bread, terrible decisions with the football. They get the Patriots next. So, you know, Vrabel, of course, had time as assistant with O'Brien with the Texans back in the day.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. C.J. Stroud, here's what I took from last night, Mike. He was timid. He was timid.
Indecisive. And look, I like the kid's game. I saw that game he played against Georgia in person at Mercedes-Benz a couple years back. I mean, you know, we can make all the throws. But, yeah, and they've got you know, maybe not household names, but they've got good wide receivers in addition to Nico Collins. But, yeah, he looked awful. The one thing I will say, the defense, as you know, travels. If Drake May survives that onslaught, then they definitely have their guy.
No doubt.
Because, I mean, they're going to get after Drake May like you can't imagine next week.
Yeah, look, this Texans defense, for those who didn't watch all season, they did this to Josh Allen. They did it to Patrick Mahomes. Multiple turnovers when they played those guys. This is what they do. So, again, number one defense in the NFL, and I think you saw it last night. Let's hear Aaron Rodgers, by the way, because we hadn't really talked about this with the Tomlin news, but this was him last night. Asked about Tomlin and the hot seat rumors. Today we now know Tomlin has stepped away.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. When you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleur's of the world. Those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. You know, but the way that the league is covered now, and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success and damn near anybody in the league for the last 19, 20 years. And more than that, though, when you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. It's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
Now, I'm with you, but it's like it's he knows it. Carl, you say it all the time. It's results-driven business.
Yeah, bro.
The Steelers, yes. You know, if this was, you know, a team which doesn't have that heritage or legacy, you famously said earlier, four coaches the entirety of the history of the franchise. But five first-round exits, his last five trips to the playoffs, that's not going to cut it. I mentioned that. I said the same thing I said about Harbaugh. Is it rep, you know, or is it reality? Because the rep is he's this great leader of men. He's an old-school guy in your face. But that offense has been brutal the last couple of years. Has he been too stubborn with his OCs? Is it, or do you ask? I asked Steve Weish about this on Twitter. Is it Omar Khan's fault or Kevin Colbert, who was the preceding general manager? They never had a plan for life after Roethlisberger. So, I mean, do you split that? I mean, how much of this? Just like here with Raheem Morris or Dan Quinn, it's going to be at the feet of the head coach. This team has been better than us, but they're still mediocre by the Steelers' standards.
And their standard is different. Their standard is chips. Every year. That is the what they strive for. We now have 8 open jobs, by the way, in the NFL. We're talking about head coaching vacancies. Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Giants, Titans, us, Cards, Raiders, Dolphins. No one's hired a coach. Not yet. But these dominoes are going to start falling. General manager was hired with the Dolphins. They got their guy. Okay. We're the only other team that needs a general manager. Mm-hmm. Everybody else's GM is in place. And the Giants' situation is interesting. I said to Mike, look, Joe Shane was there. Brian Daboll was there. They let Daboll go. I just all this Harbaugh talk about going to the Giants, look, I don't know if he's down with Joe Shane. We have no idea. But that would be a big question mark. It's almost like Leon Coam not taking the job in Jacksonville.
Until they straighten out the GM.
Absolutely. Until you figure that out, y'all can call me back. And then they did.
And they fired the guy.
And so I don't know if I'm believing all of that quite yet. But we're going to see, guys, because what we don't know is what's important to a guy like Harbaugh. And the reason why I continue to say his name is because I still think he's top of the list. What we don't know is Tomlin really taking a year off. Or is he going to coach? And if he does, Mike, you got to give up some picks to maybe get him.
That's just it. And we've talked about it. You know, it was a lot of stuff the Saints got back from the Broncos for Sean Payton. The Raiders took in a King's ransom for John Gruden in 2002. You and I looked it up earlier. So if he's still, you know, he's still the rights of them technically, according to what we've read, that you would have to cut a deal. So that might keep him out of our conversation. John Harbaugh, a guy asked me, what do you ask John Harbaugh? I go, what the hell happened with your quarterback the last couple of years? You got a 2-time MVP. You couldn't figure it out. You know, why were you so, you know, rigid with Monken if Monken had an alleged bad relationship with your QB and the team suffered? Injuries are not his fault.
No.
They had a lot of injuries on defense. But that's just a question I'd have. Real quick, I was saving this for guys in their car in the middle of afternoon drive. Did you hear Matt mention Kirby Smart today?
He did.
Talked about, you know, asked about coaches and styles, mm-hmm. And he says, you know, you see what, you know, a job like Kirby does and known for the great defense. So let's get Georgia fans freaked out. The Falcons are going after Kirby Smart. Matt Ryan has earmarked Kirby Smart. And you get, no, because a lot of guys and a few guys just hit me up on that earlier said, yeah, I mean, an example of a coach with a true identity.
He was using that example when asked about whether you need an offensive coach. And he was like, just look around. I played for guys who were defensive coaches. Here's Matt Ryan on when he mentioned Kirby. And I thought it was a great example. Mike, what it did for me was open my eyes up today specifically to say, maybe we're not going on young offensive mind head coach.
Right.
What Matt is saying is we're going to bring in the best guy. And if that guy has a defensive background, so what? Kirby was a defensive-minded background. Look at what he's been able to do. Here's Matt Ryan.
I think we're looking for the best coach, you know, whatever that may look like. You know, Kirby Smart down the road, he's a defensive guy. He does pretty good from the defensive side. You know, so I think you look at you know, who is the best person to get the most out of your football team and to provide ways to win games.
I mean, we could really have some fun with this. You know, we can. I know what I heard.
You're going to take off.
I know what I heard, Georgia fans. Kirby Smart, name your price. I'm Arthur Blank, and I approve Matt's message.
Yeah, no, look, it's
inevitable that someday, some way, somebody's going to call Kirby to do it at the pro level.
For
just
sure.
Like Nick Saban was you know, pulled out of LSU, and then Alabama pulled him back into college.
Yeah, I just, man, I say this, and I know, you know, I think he's a college guy, man. There are just dudes that are just college
but
guys.
But now that the lines have been so blurred.
They are.
And it's basically the same thing, why not make even more money?
Yeah, they. But here's the deal. At Kirby's level, you're making as much as the highest paid coach in the NFL. Mm. So, and here's the other part. You bring up a great point, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell when you talk about, and the reason why we're talking about this is because Matt mentioned him and people are like, well, are they calling Kirby? Probably not. But he's just using that as an example. But I also think this. There are a lot of guys who understand, Mike, that maybe it's not as much as it used to be because this movement, again, it has to stop. We right. went too – the pendulum swung too far this way. I was always for players having some mobility. This is way past that. But the effect that you have on a young man's life, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever it might be, you could do that, and a lot of guys understand that impact is invaluable. Whether you have a father figure in your life, a man, whatever the situation might be, Mike, coaches mean so much. And I think Kirby, and so did Nick, appeal to that. The problem now, though, Mike, is how much can you affect a young man if he's in your program for a year and then gone, and then gone for another year and gone? That's where the pendulum has swung way too far this way. I think if you go there, and by the way, it's a separate conversation than what we've been talking about today, but if you go there, you got to stay 2 years. There's got to be a legitimate contract where I got to have you, and then if you want to leave, fine, but you just can't do this year after year.
I don't know why the NCAA hasn't already just – how long does it take to knock those three heads together up there in Indianapolis and go, oh, by the way, we're going to move as soon as this season's over. Next year, the portal is February 1.
Yeah.
Right? And so we never have to have a Lane Kiffin leaving his team in the middle of the battle.
Correct.
Kind of scenario. But you're not even – see, that's the thing. You don't even hear that. You know, the NCAA is like a bureaucracy with the federal government. It just moves at a snail's pace. So let's be proactive. That's the next step. But as soon as you try to put, you know, any of those, you know, those rails on, you know, the guardrails down, you get a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we're kind of stuck. Real quick, I looked it up. According to Spotrac, Andy Reid's making $20 million. Jim Harbaugh is making $16 million. Sean Payton at 18. Mike Tomlin was making 16. Sean McVay's making 15 million.
Okay, okay.
And
so, remember, McVay threatened to leave to go do TV. I think it was for Amazon.
Correct.
Or
Kirby's making 13 million.
Yeah.
You know, plus other deals he gets. So, I mean, 13, care of 7 million. 20 million is more than 13.
It is.
By the way, I could hear some Georgia fan right now on like 360. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Would I? Yes, I would. I would get the temperature in the room with Kirby Smart. Why not? Cast a wide net.
I'm good.
You can't give up that Texas win every year, though, if you're Kirby Smart, right, Carl?
Okay, hush in there. I don't need any of that.
It's a lot easier to beat the Carolina Panthers than the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Come on. 404-726-0929 as we discuss all the things that have been going on today. Matt Ryan mentioned Kirby because he's saying don't be close-minded to a defensive-minded guy.
But why, I mean, in all seriousness, now again, they feel that Kirby, maybe it's a waste of time. But you would argue, who is you get one of the best minds in all of football, and he's a few miles down the street.
No, this is true. You're right. Would you stop this? You're absolutely right, but you're going to get fans triggered. Kirby's not leaving.
I just know the only college coach that Matt mentioned in his presser today was Kirby Smart.
Because he's in Georgia.
Facts. I got data.
It's an easy interview, man. You can go down and come right back up.
If he was somewhere else. All right, go ahead.
I know what I heard.
What you see that tweet? We have interviewed Kirby Smart for the head coaching position.
No, and by the way, we did not mention they did interview Mike McDaniel last night.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, kid.
I don't know if we mentioned that, but
yep.
All right. And that's how I would have started it. Each Wednesday night, join Day Day, guys, for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. Brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation, Wednesday nights, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're coming back. BMAC addressed what it means when Mike Tomlin says, hey, I'm stepping away. And we asked him, speaking of calls, should the Falcons be calling Mike Tomlin? Wait till you hear this answer next.
I know you guys don't ever listen to anything we say in here.
What did one of our listeners just say about Kirby potentially being a candidate?
I love the Falcons, but if they took Kirby from Georgia, I'd burn all my Falcons gear, buy a Falcons voodoo doll, sacrifice a chicken, and start a campaign to move the team to Europe. That just got sent to us. Well, that's from Sup Mega Dude.
That's intense.
So, see, Day-Day's like, you know, I was going to put that in the notes, but I thought it was so preposterous. I didn't want to waste your time. Said, no, you just watch Preposterous. Carl and I live in Preposterous.
We do.
Look. Yeah, no, I was going to ask you guys, it was going to be part of, you know, what's on my mind. Would there be a reality where the Falcons could at some point maybe try to lure Kirby Smart here? But then again, if we get the coach that we want, Kirby shouldn't even be in the discussion, right?
Now, that's true. But I will say,
Kirby should be interviewed.
I can't sit here and tell Falcon fans that we should, no stone should go unturned.
Is
right?
he bringing Bobo with him?
Quiet.
No, that's unacceptable. That would be a non-starter.
We have to call and reach out to any and everybody that you feel like is a. All Kirby's going to do is answer the phone and go, no, I'm not interested. Thank you guys, though. That's all he's going to do.
By the way, a lot of guys were just talking to, you know, Jarvis, or I can't, yeah, that's the first Jarvis penalty I've got. I called Oren Jarvis. But Oren said, you know, what about, you know, would you bring in Mike Bobo? And I said, no, because, you know, we've run the damn ball. Guys, by the way, just sidebar before we get to what Bryant had to say about his old boss. You know, Browns fans, you know, you said you're cool with Stefanski, right?
I am.
They say he gets pass happy.
Stefanski?
Yes. Now, again, not having watched much Cleveland other than, you know, Sunday Ticket here and there, or Red Zone, but they say that sometimes he just gets away from the run too much, which would make no less than zero sense here.
Yeah, I still am okay with that, but there's a pecking order for me. And, again, it goes Harbaugh first, and then let's see where we're going. But
you know me, I want Kubiak, but, you know, and if you do want him, you're going to have to wait a while because the Seahawks may go all the way.
Yeah. And by the way, that part of this, I know some people may be a big deal. The only problem is as long as you got a deal in place and you know that's going to happen, you just don't want to get burned, right, Mike? And part of that is you can make a decision on somebody that might be available right now, some of these guys that you could sign tomorrow if you wanted to, if they're convinced that this is the place for them. But – if you're going to do that, it reminds me, as we said, as the Dan Quinn deal. For those of you who were here or maybe not, when we hired Dan Quinn, he was the defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. They're making their run to a Super Bowl. We couldn't bring him in and officially announce it until that was all done.
Right.
And so, you know, the rules have somewhat changed because the NFL, every year, they do a good job of tweaking these interviews and trying not to take away from the playoffs. That's the goal. They don't want this to become eight teams and a coaching frenzy, Mike.
Right, and all the distractions. Basically, everything that's degenerated in the college game with all the teams that were in possession, like Lane Kiffin's coaching staff.
So you have these windows.
Right, but Kubiak, according to what I read from the NFL, you'd have another window after the wild card. 3 days after the wild card concludes, that was Monday, if you want to have another conversation with him. For what it's worth, one last nugget, Ian O'Connor, who writes for The Athletic, retweeting Diana Russini, saying that the Giants, Falcons, and Titans are the lead for Harbaugh.
Let's go!
Well, you won't like this.
What?
Ian has the Titans tied for second with the Falcons and the Giants as the number one on his list.
Titans?
The Titans. Cam Ward, I don't think there's anything intriguing about Cam Ward. Matter of fact, Cam Ward could be, I don't know, the next Will Levis. He might not even make it that far. But anyway, that Cam Ward and the GM, Mike Borgonzi, Giants still have a slight lead. Also, the massive cap space the Titans have could be intriguing to Harbaugh.
They do. It's Harbaugh or bust for who, Big O? For the Giants?
Yeah, for
yes,
the GMAC.
I feel that
but
way,
But as you pointed out, Joe Shane is a putz. I would not want to do business with that guy.
Me neither.
That's our GM.
Borgonzi, by the way, well-respected general manager who's up there with the Titans. Here's my issue with what you're talking about with Cam. Like, everybody's talking about quarterbacks. You're going to Titans. That's a real mystery. Like,
right?
you and I told you guys in camp. You remember when they came for 2 days and they practiced with the Falcons? 2 days I watched Cam. I was not impressed.
Right.
And the season then played out the way it did, Mike. He had a couple of highlights here and there, but you didn't see, at least I didn't, guys, the growth that you want to see. You know, you can talk about C.J. last night and C.J. Stroud, the growth that you've seen with him, the growth with Bryce Young, the growth you've seen with Drake May. That's what you're looking for. And as the season progresses, you're going, hey, he's not making the same mistakes. I watched early in the season, and late in the year, Mike, Cam Ward was still making the same mistakes he was making earlier in,
yeah,
in the season.
Yeah, it just didn't really pass the eye test. You know, so much was made about it. Are you going to go with Shedeur Sanders or him? And again, Shedeur eventually did get on the field. That's another thing. I'd like to ask Stefanski, what the heck happened there?
Yeah.
Very strange. Some of that might have been beyond his control with the GM. That's why I bring it back to Penix Jr. You know, we're hoping that they, you know, he, number one, he's able to go when you need him to
don't,
show he
don't
can
Don't say
play.
The word. Don't you dare say it.
What, fix him?
Don't say it.
He's broken?
He's not. Would you stop?
He needs improvement?
Yeah. He needs improvement, but he's not broken.
Can he play under center?
He's going to have to.
I mean, the knee thing is a thing. Like, Zach Wilson, he missed a lot of games with the Jets, but, you know, I just don't think you get the 5 years you used to get. Coaches don't get 4 years in college. I don't think first-round picks get that time anymore in the NFL.
They don't.
Look at Pickett. Steelers had a cut bait on him. They knew.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Steelers because Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, now CBS NFL analyst, stopped by the show. Because we want to get some more insight. He played for Mike Tomlin, knows the Steelers organization well, full interviews online at Odyssey.com. But does he think we, the Falcons, should call Mike Tomlin and see if he might be interested?
You know, I never played for Atlanta, but, you know, I rock with you guys heavy, 92.9 the game. And because of that, you know, me living in Atlanta, I have a soft spot for the Atlanta Falcons. I do. You know, they're like one of the few teams that I cheer for in the NFC. And if I'm Arthur Blank, I hit every connection, contact that I have to get to figure out how he feels. Because if I'm off the blank, I understand you interview Harbaugh, you Stefanski. I got to see what's going on with Mike Tomlin. Mm. Because if you can get Mike Tomlin to a place like Atlanta, you don't have to worry about trying to sell out the big body bins. It's going to sell out. You don't have to worry about a coach not being able to relate to the community. It's going to relate. And you don't have to worry about a coach being able to do more with less. Because let's keep it real, guys.
He did.
Every year, Mike Tomlin, not every year, I'll say the last 6-7 years with Mike Tomlin, when you look at what he had to coach in Pittsburgh, he did more with less because he had no quarterback. And I understand people will say, well, you got to look at the quarterback situation now currently in Atlanta. Well, it's kind of better than what he had over the last few years in Pittsburgh.
Now, you and I were going round and round earlier about, you know, and Steve Weiss, I was texting back and forth with him about this from NFL Network. You know, why is it, you know, first-round exits year after year? Is it beyond Mike Tomlin? And Bryant said that he was involved in the personnel department,
sure,
in decisions. But the general manager, did he set him up for failure because they never had the succession plan for Roethlisberger, and that's why they're just out every year in the first round? Now, you could argue, to his point, amazing to make the playoffs in one of the toughest divisions in all of sports, knowing that you just don't have all the pieces you need.
I think some of the decisions to hold on to some of the older vets
backfired.
Yes. They couldn't stop the run last night, but they couldn't stop the run all year. They were leaky all season long there. And look, one of the decisions they made, and we love him, Cam Hayward. Mike, before the season started, remember, yeah, he was like holding out. He's not going to come to camp. He's not going to play. And the Steelers did, you know, they did right by him. But he wanted more money. But when you start looking at, they went all in, but it was older guys, especially on the defensive side, that they went all in on. And so that, I think, hurt him.
Having a quarterback. I mean,
well, they went out and got Jalen Ramsey, for example, right? It's moves like that where you felt like, all right, they are going all in, but Tomlin backed all those moves.
Right.
He wanted all those guys.
And part of the reason I think, you know, Raheem lost his job because he hired the wrong guys. I mean, Matt Canada had 3 years. Now, granted, they had Justin Fields in there. There was a train wreck. Arthur Smith came in. I mean, that offense, it's criminally painful. They also had a bad losing streak this year, too. They were looking really good and got sideways. So, look, we're not as familiar with the Steelers. Steeler fans that live here are. You see a lot of folks up in Pittsburgh saying, yeah, familiarity breeds contempt. Said that to you earlier. Probably the way a lot of Ravens fans feel about Harbaugh. That you just, as good as he is, you're just not getting to the mark. I mean, 10 teams have won the Super Bowl since the Steelers won the Super Bowl. You know, that was, you got to go all the way back, Carl, and look at, you know, the level of expectations for an elite franchise like Pittsburgh. They expect more up there.
They do.
How fair many, or unfair?
How many have won since we last won? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, like, you're right. But there are probably 3 to 5 franchises that are in that rarefied air that go into every season, and their fan base feels that way. Steelers are one of them. So we'll see what happens with Mike Tomlin.
I mean,
it's interesting, though, Mike. I'll say this. If, in fact, he wants to coach, somebody might do exactly what we've seen done around the league, and that is, right. Hey, we'll give him some picks, whatever it's going to take to bring him in here, because they truly believe that he is a culture changer. And that's, again, I get back to this. That is what we need. I know a lot of you are just caught up in the coaching aspect and the game day, clock management stuff. It's bigger than that. And by the way, Matt's not going to be walking up and down Flowery Branch's halls with a whip, all right, like he's Indiana Jones going, hey, get in line. Culture building is more than that.
I'm actually kind of cool with that concept, if I'm honest.
But that is what we need,
right?
Because it's sustainable.
Five teams have won the Super Bowl since we blew it in Super Bowl 51. Needless to say.
Different teams.
Different teams. Four, actually, different. Yeah, because you go, that was because New England won it again. So that's actually four. Philadelphia has won it twice. Kansas City, of course, all those trips. And then the Rams in Tampa Bay. So five. Yeah.
Because Philly beat.
Philly, remember with the Philly special beat New England.
That's right.
With Coach Peterson.
That's right.
So it is rarefied air. 10 teams have won it since. There's a third of the NFL, roughly, that has their ish together, that is perennially in that mix. And then there's teams like us that are just kind of trying to find our way in the world.
All right.
And hopefully that changes with the decisions that Matt is going to make and then Arthur will sign off on.
Hopefully it does. Hey, man, tomorrow we're back in studio. Want to remind you, speaking of the playoffs, we got you covered this weekend. Make sure you join us Saturday, 3:30 on our sister station, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sunday, 2 o'clock, right here on 92.9 The Game. Live play-by-play coverage, playoff football, guys. We've got you covered. It's brought to you by our friends at Trajan Wealth, your local trusted fiduciary advisors. And Window Nation, buy four, get four. That's buy four, get four free. NFL playoff action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta's home of the NFL on Westwood One. All right, Turtles got a full show, and then we got Hawks tonight. Big win. Big potential win for them tonight. It'll be four in a row. Am I right? Four in a row on this road trip, and then they play Portland tomorrow. Tips tonight at 10:30, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow as well, and plenty more on the Falcons, so make sure you're here tomorrow at 2. All right, Big O, we got to get out of the way, man, and clear our throat. Great job, Day-Day, behind the scenes, executive producer, and, of course, Big O, our engineer. And thanks to you guys. It's an exciting time, man.
Right.
It really is. I mean, this is really cool. It's unfortunate, Mike, people have to lose their jobs, but this is the way of things, especially in the NFL.
Right.
And for us, this is a new start. And today, Matt Ryan gave us that start with the presser. Hey, man, Mike Bell. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, another big name coming back to the PGA Tour.
Who?
Well, not Bryson DeChambeau. Not Phil Mickelson.
Who?
Not John Rahm. Pat Perez. Well, they said he could come back. The PGA, if you missed it yesterday, they basically put out an open letter saying, we want you back. Well, not you, but you. They want DeChambeau back. They want Rahm back. Brooks Koepka took the bait. Won't make as much money on the back end as far as that extra value for being a name and bringing more TV viewers to the PGA Tour. But they really want to get DeChambeau back. The question now is DeChambeau going to ask LIV Golf in Saudi Arabia for $500 million to stay?
Could he?
Yes, he could.
Matt Ryan, welcome home. You never left. We know you lived here, even though you weren't on our TV screens or down in Mercedes-Benz visibly every single week over the last few years since you retired. But who says you can't get back and come home again? Although your role is different, we are trusting you with the biggest decisions, I think, in our franchise's history in the last decade. Get it right, you set us up for Super Bowl runs. Get it wrong, well, we'll be all blaming you, Matt. That's just the facts. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't.
You're a Trigger Georgia fan. Stop mentioning Kirby and the Falcons.